Star Wars, Heir to the Empire by Timothy Zahn, continued. Cassette number 11, side 1. Wedge glanced down at his navscope, made a minor adjustment to his speed, looked back up again, and in the space of a single heartbeat, the whole thing went straight to hell. The freighter blew up. All at once, without any warning from sensors, without any hint from previous visual observation, it just came apart. Reflexively, Wedge jabbed for his comm control. "Emergency," he barked. "Ship explosion near orbit dock V-475. Send rescue team." For an instant, as chunks of the cargo bay flew outward, he could see into the emptiness there. But even as his eyes and brain registered the odd fact that he could see into the disintegrating cargo bay, but not beyond it, the bay was suddenly no longer empty. One of the X-Wing pilots gasped. A tight-packed mass of something was in there, totally filling the space where the Larkus's sensors had read nothing. A mass that was even now exploding outward like a hornet's nest beyond the pieces of the bay. A mass that in seconds had resolved itself into a boiling wave front of TIE fighters. "Pull up," Wedge snapped to his squadron, leaning his X-Wing into a tight turn to get out of the path of that deadly surge. "Come around and reform. S-foils in attack position." And as they swung around in response, he knew with a sinking feeling that Captain Effion had been wrong. Rogue Squadron was indeed going to earn its pay today. The battle for Sluis Van had begun. They'd cleared the outer system defense network and the bureaucratic overload that passed for control at Sluis Van these days. And Han was just getting a bearing on the slot they'd given him when the emergency call came through. "Luke," he shouted back down the cockpit corridor, "got a ship explosion. I'm going to go check it out." He glanced at the orbit dock map to locate V-475, gave the ship a fractional turn to put them on the right vector, and jerked in his seat as a laser bolt slapped the Falcon hard from behind. He had them gunning into a full forward evasive maneuver before the second shot went sizzling past the cockpit. Over the roar of the engines, he heard Luke's startled-sounding yelp. And as the third bolt went past, he finally had a chance to check the aft sensors to see just what was going on. He almost wished he hadn't. Directly behind them, batteries already engaging one of the Sluis Van perimeter battle stations, was an Imperial Star Destroyer. He swore under his breath and kicked the engines a little harder. Beside him, Luke clawed his way forward against the not-quite-compensated acceleration and into the co-pilot seat. "What's going on?" he asked. "We just walked into an Imperial attack," Han growled, eyes flying over the readouts. "Got a Star Destroyer behind us. There's another one over to starboard. Looks like some other ships with them." "They've got the system bottled up," Luke said, his voice glacially calm. A far cry, Han thought, from the panicky kid he'd pulled off Tatooine out from under Star Destroyer fire all those years back. "I make it 5 Star Destroyers and something over 20 smaller ships." Han grunted. "At least we know now why they hit Bafash and the others. Wanted to pull enough ships here to make an attack worth their while." The words were barely out of his mouth when the emergency comm channel suddenly came to life again. "Emergency. Imperial TIE fighters in orbit dock area. All ships to battle stations." Luke started. "That sounded like Wedge," he said, punching for transmission. "Wedge, that you?" "Luke," the other came back. "We got trouble here. At least 40 TIE fighters and 50 truncated cone-shaped things I've never seen before." He broke off as a screech from the X-Wing's etheric rudder came faintly over the speaker. "I hope you've brought a couple of wings of fighters with you," he said. "We're going to be a little pressed here." Luke glanced at Han. Afraid it's just Han and me and the Falcon, but we're on our way. Make it fast. Luke keyed off the speaker. Is there any way to get me into my X-Wing? He asked. Not fast enough. Han shook his head. We're going to have to drop it here and go in alone. Luke nodded, getting out of his seat. I'd better make sure Lando and the droids are strapped in, and then get up into the gunwale. Take the top one, Han called after him. The upper deflector shields were running stronger at the moment, and Luke would have more protection there. If there was any protection to be had from 40 TIE fighters and 50 truncated flying cones. For a moment, he frowned as a strange thought suddenly struck him. But no, they couldn't possibly be Lando's missing mole miners. Even a Grand Admiral wouldn't be crazy enough to try to use something like that in battle. Boosting power to the forward deflectors, he took a deep breath and headed in. All ships commence attack, Pelion called. Full engagement. Maintain position and status. He got confirmations, turned to Thrawn. All ships report engaged, sir, he said. But the Grand Admiral didn't seem to hear him. He just stood there at the viewport, gazing outward at the New Republic ships scrambling to meet them, his hands gripped tightly behind his back. Admiral? Pelion asked cautiously. That was them, Captain, Thrawn said, his voice unreadable. That ship straight ahead. That was the Millennium Falcon, and it was towing an X-Wing starfighter behind it. Pelion frowned past the other. The glow of a drive was indeed barely visible past the flashing laser bolts of the battle, already pretty well out of combat range, and trying hard to be even more so. But as to the design of the craft, much less its identity. Yes, sir, he said, keeping his tone neutral. Cloak Leader reports a successful breakout, and that the command section of the freighter is making its escape to the periphery. They're encountering some resistance from escort vehicles and a squadron of X-Wings, but the general response has so far been weak and diffuse. Thrawn took a deep breath and turned away from the viewport. That will change, he told Pelion, back in control again. Remind him not to push his envelope too far or to waste excessive time in choosing his targets. Also, that the space trooper mole miners should concentrate on calamari star cruisers. They're likely to have the largest number of defenders aboard. The red eyes glittered. And inform him that the Millennium Falcon is on its way in. Yes, sir, Pelion said. He glanced out the viewport again at the distant fleeing ship. Towing an X-Wing? You don't think... Skywalker? Thrawn's face hardened. We'll know soon, he said quietly. And if so, Talon Karda will have a great deal to answer for. A great deal. Watch it, Rogue Five, Wedge warned as a flash of laser fire from somewhere behind him shot past and nicked the wing of one of the X-Wings ahead. We've picked up a tail. I noticed, the other came back. Pincer? On my mark, Wedge confirmed as a second bolt shot past him. Directly ahead, a Calamari star cruiser was pulling sluggishly away, trying to get out of the battle zone. Perfect cover for this kind of maneuver. Together, he and Rogue Five dived underneath it. Now. Leaning hard on his etheric rudder, he peeled off hard to the right. Rogue Five did the same thing to the left. The pursuing TIE fighter hesitated between his diverging targets a split second too long. And even as he swung around to follow Wedge, Rogue Five blew him out of the sky. Nice shooting, Wedge said, giving the area a quick scan. The TIE fighters still seemed to be everywhere. But for the moment at least, none of them was close enough to give them any trouble. Five noticed that too. We seem to be out of it, Rogue Leader, he commented. Easy enough to fix, Wedge told him. His momentum was taking him farther under the Star Cruiser they'd used for cover. Curving up and around it, he started to spiral back toward the main battle area. He was just swinging up along the Star Cruiser's side when he noticed the small, cone-shaped thing nestled up against the larger ship's hull. He craned his neck for a better look as he shot past. It was one of the little craft that had come out with the TIE fighters, all right, sitting pressed up against the Star Cruiser's bridge blister as if it were welded in place. There was a battle going on nearby, a battle in which his people were fighting and very possibly dying. But something told Wedge that this was important. Hang on a minute, he told Five. I want to check this out. His momentum had already taken him to the Star Cruiser's bow. He curved around in front of the ship, leaning back into a spiral again. And suddenly, his canopy lit up with laser fire, and his X-wing jolted like a startled animal beneath him. The Star Cruiser had fired on him. In his ear, he heard Five shout something. Stay back, Wedge snapped, fighting against a sudden drop in power and giving his scopes a quick scan. I'm hit, but not bad. They fired on you. Yes, I know, Wedge said, trying to maintain some kind of evasive maneuvering with what little control he had left. Fortunately, the systems were starting to come back online as his R2 unit did some fast rerouting. Even more fortunately, the Star Cruiser didn't seem inclined to shoot at him again. But why had it fired in the first place? Unless... His own R2 was too busy with rerouting chores to handle anything else at the moment. Rogue Five, I need a fast sensor scan, he called. Where are the rest of those cone things? Hang on, I'll check, the other replied. Scope shows I don't find more than about 15 of them. Nearest one's 10 kilometers away, bearing 118 Mark IV. Wedge felt something hard settle into his stomach. 15 out of the 50 that had been in that freighter with the TIE fighters. So where had the rest of them gone? Let's go take a look, he said, turning into an intercept vector. The cone thing was heading toward another escort frigate like the Larkess he saw, with 4 TIE fighters running interference for it. Not that there was much potential for interference. If the frigate was manned anywhere near as sparsely as the Larkess, it would have precious little chance of fighting back. Let's see if we can take them before they notice us, he told Five as they closed the distance. Abruptly, all 4 TIE fighters peeled off and came around. So much for surprise. Take the 2 on the right, Rogue Five. I'll take the others. Copy. Wedge waited until the last second before firing on the first of his targets, swinging around instantly to avoid collision with the other. It swept past him, his X-wing shuddering as it took another hit. He leaned hard into the turn, catching a glimpse of the TIE fighter dropping into a pursuit slot as he did so. And suddenly, something shot past him, spitting laser fire, and twisting back and around in some kind of insane variant on a drunkard's walk evasive maneuver. The TIE fighter caught a direct hit and blew into a spectacular cloud of fiery gas. Wedge finished his turn, just as Rogue Five's second target fighter did likewise. All clear, Wedge, a familiar voice called into his ear. You damaged? I'm fine, Luke, Wedge assured him. Thanks. Look, there it goes, Han's voice cut in. Over by the frigate. It's one of Lando's mole miners, all right. I see it, Luke said. What's it doing out here? I saw one stuck onto the Star Cruiser back there, Wedge told him, swinging back on course for the frigate. Looks like this one's trying to do the same thing. I don't know why. Whatever it's doing, let's stop it, Han said. Right. It was, Wedge saw, going to be a close race, but it was quickly clear that the mole miner was going to win it. Already, it had turned its base around toward the frigate and was starting to nestle up against the hull. and just before it closed the gap completely, he caught a glimpse of an acridly brilliant light. "What was that?" Luke asked. "I don't know," Wade said, blinking away the afterimage. "It looked too bright for laser fire." "It was a plasma jet," Han grunted as the Falcon came up alongside him. "Right on top of the bridge emergency escape hatch. That's what they wanted the mole miners for. They're using them to burn through the hulls." He broke off, and abruptly he swore. "Luke, we got it backwards. They're not here to wreck the fleet. They're here to steal it." For a long heartbeat, Luke just stared at the frigate. And then, like pieces clicking together in a puzzle, it all fell into place. The mole miners, the undermanned and underdefended capital ships that the New Republic had been forced to press into shipping service, the Imperial fleet out there that seemed to be making no real effort to push its way past the system's defenses, and a New Republic star cruiser, mole miner planted firmly on its side, that had just fired on Wedge's X-Wing. He took a moment to scan the sky around him. Moving with deceptive slowness through the continuing starfighter battle, a number of warships were beginning to pull out. "We've got to stop them," he told the others. "Good thinking," Han agreed. "How?" "Is there any way we can get aboard them ourselves?" he asked. "Lando said the mole miners were two-man ships. The Imperials can't possibly have packed more than 4 or 5 stormtroopers in each one of them." "The way those warships are manned at the moment, 4 stormtroopers would be plenty," Wedge pointed out. "Yes, but I could take them," Luke said. "On all 50 ships," Han countered. "Besides, you blast a hatch open to vacuum, and you'll have pressure bulkheads closing all over the ship. Take you forever to get to the bridge." Luke gritted his teeth, but Han was right. "Then we have to disable them," he said. "Knock out their engines or control systems or something. If they get out to the perimeter and those star destroyers, we'll never see them again." "Oh, we'll see them again," Han growled, pointed straight back at us. "You're right. Disabling as many as we can is our best shot. We're never going to stop all 50, though." "We don't have 50 to stop, at least not yet," Wedge put in. "There are still 12 mole miners that haven't attached themselves to ships." "Good. Let's take them out first," Han said. "You got vectors on them?" "Feeding your computer now." "Okay. Okay, here we go." The Falcon twisted around and headed off in a new direction. "Luke, get on the comm and tell Suisse Control what's happening," he added. "Tell them not to let any ships out of the orbit dock area." "Right." Luke switched channels on the comm, and as he did so, he was suddenly aware of a slight change in sense from the Falcon's cockpit. "Han, you all right?" "Huh? Sure. Why?" "I don't know. You seem to change." "I had half a grip on some idea," Han said, "but it's gone now. Come on, make that call. I want you back on the quads when we get there." The call to Sluice Control was over well before they reached their target mole miner. "They thank us for the information," Luke reported to the others, "but they say they don't have anything to spare at the moment to help us." "Probably don't," Han agreed. "Okay, I see 2 TIE fighters running escort. Wedge, you and Rogue 5 take them out, while Luke and I hit the mole miner."
"Got it," Wedge confirmed.
The 2 X-Wings shot past Luke's canopy, flaring apart into intercept mode as the TIE fighters broke formation and came around to meet the attack. "Luke, try to blow it apart instead of disintegrating it," Han suggested. "Let's see how many people the Imperials have got stuffed inside."
"Got it," Luke said.
The mole miner was in his sights now. Adjusting his power level down, he fired. The truncated cone flared as the metal dead center of the shot boiled away into glowing gas.
The rest of the craft seemed intact, though, and Luke was just lining up for a second shot when the hatch at the top abruptly popped open. And through the opening, a monstrous robot-like figure came charging out.
What?
It's a space trooper, Han snapped back. A stormtrooper in zero-G armor. Hang on. He spun the Falcon around, away from the space trooper, but not before there was a flash from a protuberance atop the other's backpack, and the hull around Luke slammed with a violent concussion. Han rolled the ship around, blocking Luke's view, as another concussion rocked them. And then they were pulling away. Pulling away, but with agonizing slowness. Luke swallowed hard, wondering what kind of damage they'd taken. Han, Luke, you all right? Wedge's voice called anxiously.
Yeah, for now, Han called back. You get the TIE fighters?
Yes, I think the mole miner is still underway, though.
Well then, blast it, Han said. Nothing cute, just blow it apart.
But watch out for that space trooper. He's using miniature proton torpedoes or something. I'm trying to draw him away. I don't know if he'll fall for it.
He's not, Wedge said grimly. He's staying right on top of the mole liner.
They're heading for a passenger liner. Looks like they'll make it, too.
Han swore under his breath.
Probably got a few regular stormtrooper buddies still in there. All right, I guess we do this the hard way.
Hang on, Luke, we're going to ram him.
We're what? Luke's last word was lost in the roar from the engines as Han sent the Falcon flying straight out and then around in a hard turn. The mole miner and space trooper came back into Luke's line of sight. Wedge had been wrong. The space trooper wasn't standing by the damaged mole miner. He was, in fact, sidling quickly away from it. The twin protuberances on top of his backpack began flashing again. And a couple of seconds later, the Falcon's hull began ringing with proton torpedo blasts.
Get ready, Han called.
Luke braced himself, trying not to think about what would happen if one of those torpedoes hit his canopy, and trying, too, not to wonder if Han could really ram the space trooper without also plowing into the passenger liner directly behind him. Ignoring the proton blasts, the Falcon continued accelerating. And, without warning, Han dropped the ship beneath the space trooper's line of fire.
Wedge, go.
From beneath Luke's line of sight, an X-wing flashed upward, laser cannon blazing, and the mole miner shattered into flaming dust.
Good shot, Han told him, a note of satisfaction in his voice as he veered underneath the liner, nearly taking the Falcon's main sensor dish off in the process.
There you go, hotshot. Enjoy your view of the battle.
Belatedly, the light dawned.
He was listening in on our channel, Luke said. You just wanted to decoy him into moving away from the mole miner.
You got it, Han said.
I figured he'd tap in. Imperials always do when they can.
He trailed off.
What is it? Luke asked.
I don't know, Han said slowly. There's something about this whole thing that keeps poking at me, but I can't figure out what it is.
Never mind. Our hotshot space trooper will keep for now. Let's go hit some more mole miners.
It was just as well, Pelion thought, that they were only here to keep the enemy tied up. The Skreesi and their New Republic allies were putting up one terrific fight. On his status board, a section of the Chimera's shield schematic went red.
Get that starboard shield back up, he ordered, giving the sky in that direction a quick scan.
There were half a dozen warships out there, all of them firing like mad, with a battle station in backstop position behind them. If their sensors showed that the Chimera's starboard shields were starting to go...
Starboard turbo lasers. Focus all fire on the assault frigate at 32 Mark 40.
Thrawn spoke up calmly.
Concentrate on the starboard side of the ship only.
The Chimera gun crews responded with a withering hail of laser fire.
The assault frigate tried to swerve away, but even as it turned, its entire starboard side seemed to flash with vaporized metal. The weapons from that section, which had been firing non-stop, went abruptly silent.
Excellent, Thrawn said. Starboard tractor crews, lock on and bring it in close. Try to keep it between the damaged shields and the enemy. And be sure to keep its starboard side facing toward us. The port side may still have active weapons and a crew to use them.
Clearly against its will, the assault frigate began to move inward. Pelion watched it for a moment, then returned his attention to the overall battle. He had no doubt the tractor crew would do the job right. They'd shown a remarkable increase in efficiency and competence lately. TIE Squadron 4, keep after that B-Wing group, he instructed. Port Ion Cannon, keep up the pressure on that command center. He looked at Thrawn. Any specific orders, Admiral? Thrawn shook his head.
No, the battle seems to be progressing as planned.
He turned his glowing eyes on Pelion.
What word from Cloak Leader?
Pelion checked the proper display. The TIE fighters are still engaging the various escort ships, he reported. 43 of the mole miners have successfully attached to target ships. Of those, 39 are secure and making for the perimeter. 4 are still encountering internal resistance, though they anticipate a quick victory.
And the other 8?
They've been destroyed, Pelion told him, including 2 of those with a space trooper aboard. One of those space troopers is failing to respond to comm, presumably killed with his craft. The other is still functional. Cloak Leader has ordered him to join the attack on the escort ships.
Countermand that, Thrawn said. I'm quite aware that stormtroopers have infinite confidence in themselves, but that sort of deep space combat is not what space trooper suits were designed for. Have Cloak Leader detail a TIE fighter to bring him out, and also inform him that his wing is to begin pulling back to the perimeter.
Pelion frowned. You mean now, sir?
Certainly now.
Thrawn nodded toward the viewport.
The first of our new ships will begin arriving within 15 minutes. As soon as they're all with us, the task force will be withdrawing.
But
the rebel forces within the perimeter are of no further concern to us, Captain, Thrawn said with quiet satisfaction. The captured ships are on their way. With or without TIE fighter cover, there's nothing the rebels can do to stop them.
Han brought the Falcon as close as he could to the frigate's engines without risking a backwash, feeling the slight multiple dips in ship's power as Luke repeatedly fired the quads. Anything? He asked as they came up around the other side. Doesn't look like it, Luke said. There's just too much armor over the coolant feeder lines. Han glanced along the frigate's course, fighting back the urge to swear. They were already uncomfortably close to the perimeter battle and getting closer all the time. This isn't getting us anywhere. There's got to be some way to take out a capital ship.
That's what other capital ships are for, Wedge put in.
This book is continued at this point on the other side of this cassette. Please reverse or turn the cassette over now.